The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Well, we probably think we know this story pretty well. Anybody heard it before in Sunday school or in worship? It is a favorite. And I would say that at times, we remember it because of things like the Good Samaritan Law, which protect those who help somebody from any sort of litigation, because that's become a thing in the last, 50 years, that we worry, oh, could I be held responsible if something goes wrong when I try to help? It's actually surprising to me that over the last decade or so, that is actually what I hear more often when I mention the Good Samaritan story. Fear creeps in. Or perhaps guilt. Guilt over what we should do. Indeed, at the other congregation, at Cross of Glory up in Mounds View, we had a giant funeral on Monday this past week. And with a big funeral come people that you don't necessarily know. I have to say, I felt a little convicted this week, actually, because during the funeral, there was a gentleman who was there who I actually thought was part of the motorcycle, the escort. Thank you very much, Tony. The escort. And he was there early, about 3 hours earlier than I thought he needed to be, with boots that were kind of untied and looking odd. But to this pastor, I thought, oh, the escort is already here. And it didn't even register to me that he was out of place. Well, it turns out that this was not the motorcycle escort. It was another gentleman, someone from our neighborhood, who didn't have a place to be, and who, it turns out, doesn't have a home. He was there throughout the funeral, kind of wandering about, and ate the meal with us at one point, and it wasn't until most of the people left, including the pastor, the actual motorcycle escort, and the entire funeral party to go to Fort Snelling, that it became clear to Don and the other volunteers that this gentleman didn't have a place to be. They were locking the doors, and he was trying to get in as they struggled to lock the door that had some problems. And honestly, they probably wouldn't have even noticed that he was there, except he needed to run in and use the restroom. Well, what do we do in a circumstance like that? He's not exactly on the side of the road crying out for help, beaten down and injured, too injured to get up. If that were the case, it might be more obvious what we are to do. But we weren't sure. Do you wake the gentleman up from underneath the tree outside where he is resting? Do you ask him to leave the property? Well, none of that seems right. I'm not going to give you an answer because it's more complicated than all of that. But that experience reminded me of this text that we had just covered at Bible study in the morning. This story might make us feel a little guilt, perhaps some shame, or perhaps it spurs us to action to help others, to serve, to encourage. I think above all, it reminds us that the word neighbor is not defined by location nor group, but by those who are in need of our concern or care. It reminds us that God calls us to more than just caring for family and friends and congregation. The story of the Good Samaritan reminds us to serve our neighbor or maybe even someone we don't consider our neighbor. If we hear the story only from the perspective of help your neighbor, you know, the guy who lives here, the guy who lives here, and then the people maybe just across the street from you. That's not what Jesus is saying. If we hear the story only from the perspective of serving the neighbors that look, act, dress like us, then we are missing the rest of the story. This is an example of God teaching us to expect the unexpected. Yes, in this story, the lawyer stands up to test Jesus, and Jesus tells the lawyer something very unexpected. Jesus tells this parable of the Good Samaritan, and in doing so, tells the lawyer to go and do likewise. Imitate the Samaritan. And I think that there are two main things that get lost in translation for us, for our modern ears. First, the Samaritan was the lawyer's cultural enemy. In biblical times, people were of different tribes, much as we are today, but even more so. I have to share this example because I think it's hilarious. It would be the example of a Vikings fan reaching out to help a Packers fan. Or a Packers fan reaching out to help a Vikings fan. I kid. I know we work well together. Half my family is Packers fans, the other half is Vikings fans. It's all good. And we would help each other and help even people we don't know, even us, to help a terrorist. By and large, we identify the Samaritan, the helper in the story, in that negative way. We don't realize that the Samaritan is a repulsive figure to some hearers of this story. You can catch hints of it in the story. You'll notice that the lawyer asks Jesus the question, and in the first place, he can't even bring himself to say Samaritan. Some sources argue it's because he is so repulsed by the fact that the character is a Samaritan in the first place. Well, the second part that gets lost in translation is that Jesus is asking an educated lawyer to sit at the feet of the Samaritan, again, his cultural enemy, and not only to learn from the Samaritan, but to imitate him. Jesus is telling the lawyer, see your enemy as your teacher. See the other not just as human, but as someone who is wise and can teach you. In order to truly understand how this would work, you need to do a little imagining. You need to think of who your Samaritan would be in your own life. Think for a moment, who is most different from you? Who is your cultural enemy? For each of us, this is going to be different. Who would you have trouble learning from? I'll name some big ones that came up when I asked others this question. Perhaps it would be Hitler, or maybe Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein. Think for a moment who your enemy is. Could be someone more personal in your life. And then I want you to consider Jesus' advice for the lawyer. The Samaritan helped the man who needed help. when no one else would help him. Jesus was asking the lawyer to learn from his enemy, to see that enemy not only as human, but as teacher, to see the other, whoever that is, not only as human, but as someone with wisdom and something to offer, as one who will show him the way to salvation. Wow. Expect the unexpected. This parable asks us to heal and be healed by our enemies, our neighbors, our sisters and brothers. It asks us to live eternal life today, to live on earth as it is in heaven. Although we recite this every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we can't help but be taken by surprise. This is unexpected. How, Lord, are we supposed to follow what our enemy does? And yet, we shouldn't really be that surprised. Seeing how often God works in unexpected ways, consider how God cleansed the world by flooding the earth and saving Noah and his family. Unexpected. Work through ordinary and fallible people to create a great nation. Think of Daniel, David, Abraham, Sarah. Unexpected. Sending the Messiah in the form of a small infant who grew up to be a plain man who died in a plain town. Unexpected. God constantly works in unexpected ways. And perhaps at times, or even right now, we are the ones suffering at the side of the road, hoping for the unexpected, out of control, beaten and bruised, waiting for a passerby to offer us assistance. And when we are that person on the side of the road, it is when we need to expect the unexpected, because it is our only hope. When we are stranded and alone, we open ourselves up to the possibilities that God offers. We imagine a new way of living into God's promises. The people we see who need help, who we reach out to in offering a helping hand, or by acknowledging that we ourselves are the ones in need, asking for help, or at least watching and being open to it. When we expect the unexpected, we accept that we are not necessarily the example for the rest of the world to follow. They are not necessarily the ones who teach. We accept that we are constantly learning, drawing closer to God in faith and love, and that throughout our lives, we will be surprised and encouraged, and yes, even challenged by our faith, and that we are not alone on this journey. God has promised to walk with us. And it's here that I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit strange and maybe kind of awkward. When I say that God is indeed with you, you might hear that and think of some far-off, distant God somewhere in the sky or very far away. That is not how God works. God is here in our midst among us. And God provides for us people to be with us on the journey. And yes, that includes people here in this sanctuary right now. I invite you to open your eyes and look around this place. See the people who are here with us. Go ahead, look at each other. I made them do this at the last service because the baptism family gets to look out at the congregation and know that we're in this together because we claim these promises. We are with one another in our lives in Christ. Not just the pastor who might come and visit you in the hospital or when you're having trouble, but all of these people are placed here by God. You are God's people doing God's work in your daily lives. And indeed, you are God's people being encouraged by other people in your lives. not just here in this place, but in the office, the cubicle in which you sit, in the schools in which we attend or work, even at the grocery store and at the Super Target. God is everywhere, showing up in the faces of our neighbors, no matter how they look. God indeed has promised to walk with us and promises to help us grow in faith and love. May all of us expect the unexpected in our daily lives. Thanks be to God.